Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, it's Sunday, and this is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters. Who's ever eating on their mic, please stop. It's making a lot of noise.
Okay.
That sounded like Cheetos or something.
Oh, no, it was nothing. I did peanuts.
Oh.
Really, guys. Beautiful downtown Port St. Lucie, Florida. And I'm talking with Jack Jodell in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And Wayne Johnson, who we can hear all the way from Columbus.
That's right.
Ohio. Okay, you guys, come on down. Have your horses ovaries at cocktail. Well, it is cocktail hour. Who am I kidding? Okay, I'm slap happy. I'm so tired. But we were talking about, you know, we always open up with the week in review, and this week it's been notable for Mr. Donald.
Yes.
He's had a beautiful week, Isaac. It's gorgeous. It's just, I mean,
he's proving what a chump he really is.
Well,
exactly.
He's a chiseler. He's a business. It's a lot of people after this election, whether he wins it or not, will consider him a business fraud.
Mm-hmm.
His businesses that are branded, that have Trump on them, are down anywhere from 17% to 28% in business.
Very good. Well, he's almost bankrupt anyway, so.
Well, I don't know that, but I will say
another
that
Trump bankruptcy? Heaven forbid.
I'm shocked.
Joe Scarborough, Morning Joe, such a blowhole for Republicans, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's
starting to question his sanity.
He did.
Yeah, well,
he said, listen, yes. This has got to be said. He said, this has got to be said. There were people questioning him at the Washington Post and doing an interview with him. And apparently the Donald asked three times why we don't use nuclear weapons. That's not good. I mean, that really upset Morning Joe enough to put his whole job on the line to say that, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So,
because they've been very deferential to Trump throughout, man. They've given him a lot of free airtime, and they just pander to his every whim, it seems like. They allow him to be on the phone instead of being there in person. They've done that many times.
Yeah. I'll tell you, since the Republican convention, the Morning Joe people, Mika the Baba head of all, these folks have been saying, you know, since the convention, just every dirty piece of, you know, glaring reality about the guy since the convention. And I think they took it very personally, which they should. They're Republicans. They took it very personally how badly done the convention was.
Yeah.
And he did get a bump. A few points, like three or
not
two
much.
Points.
Not much. And it vaporized immediately.
Got more of a bump out of than he did.
It vaporized.
Yeah.
And
like you said, Hillary got it.
Well, wait a minute. Now, you know that the Wall Street Journal and their polling are all owned by Fox News. And they came out with a new poll to this morning. And guess what Hillary's standing at?
She's 10 or 15 points ahead, right?
I think it's 8 points on Wall Street. Others have found him up as much as 15.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
That's what I've heard.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I taped the damn TV All I actually saw today was Meet the Press, but and boy, Reed.
Reed.
She had that idiot from Buffalo, New York, Carl Paladino or whatever his name is.
Oh, that idiot, yeah. He ran for governor, remember?
That guy is so stupid. If I were Trump, I'd punch him in the face, tell him to get the hell out of town. I mean, this guy, and the other one who really needs to have his lock shorn, let me put it that way, his lock shorn is Rudy Giuliani.
Oh yeah.
He needs to get a boot in his mouth.
That guy is such a blathering idiot, you know. And it's funny because there was a rumor going around early in the week about how Giuliani and Newt Gingrich and some other big Republican loser were all going to meet with Trump and get him squared away on how to win this election.
Well,
give me a break.
No. I was going to say, Jack, let me. What was that, Gwen?
Go ahead. Go ahead,
okay.
Wayne.
I was going to say, those that are handling that's supposed to be training him or practicing him for his debates, they're saying, oh, my God, he's even dumber than Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I believe it.
he can throw out crap. He knows he's just throwing out crap that's not factual or true, but no one's ever really called him on it. I mean, when those newspapers that do the fact checks saying, oh, this guy's totally wrong, but they never really call him out on it.
Yeah.
Well, now
they're starting
ready,
to, thank God.
Yeah, I was
so going to
say,
good.
Plus they're getting ready to gear up for debates with Hillary Clinton, and he's still throwing that crap out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, no, this isn't right. You know, you can't be doing that. But his whole campaign has been, you know, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit. That's the old saying we used to have.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's what he's been doing.
Yeah, you can't run a presidential campaign on innuendo. And that's what he's trying to do.
He keeps saying, I like the way Tim Kaine, who was not so great on Meet the Press today.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Kaine
didn't
get his ass in a row. But Hillary kind of backfired by saying I short-circuited. And she's, the point is that they keep throwing at her that she's not trusted, that she's, and yet her approval rating with voters indicates that's not really true.
Right.
But
exactly.
A lot of this is media created. It's corporate media created bullshit is what it is.
Yeah.
Incidentally,
well, you know,
let me mention in passing real quickly.
Go ahead.
Good old Donald Trump. Doonesbury was on Democracy Now! On Friday. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's releasing 30 years of Doonesbury on Trump because he's made him into a regular character, a recurring character, because the guy's so outrageous in New York, and he's been covering him there since about 87 or so, and he's released a brand new paperback that's just out now that contains comic strips from the last 30 years that that have Trump in them, and he's got them down to a T. It's hilarious.
Very good.
It's called Huge, Y-U-G-E.
Yeah,
30 years of Doonesbury on Trump.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, a lot of good things came out of the Democratic Convention.
Oh, yeah.
It was very positive, very upbeat. And if you've read her books, then you know a lot more. Well, of course, you're taking her word for it, but there is a record in place to back it up, what she's done, how she's thrown out.
Ken Starr. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Gwen. I interrupted.
I think one of the moving force behind her whole life of service has been the incredibly heartbreaking story of how her mother grew up.
Yes.
Right.
And what she gave to her daughter, and what she gave to her daughter was integrity and love and, you know, principles that said, you know, because you've got your own, you have to share with the rest of the people in your community. And I can relate to that. Because I was taught the same thing by my
Here's Trump condemning her on not being religious or whatever, how hypocritical of him. But he was talking about that. Nobody knows anything about her religion. But no, she's been a practicing Methodist for many years, and they believe in service to others.
Yeah.
Yes.
Plain and simple.
That's her, and her religion is being of service to others. And let me tell you,
as a healer
and one of the Booga Booga crowd, one of the, you know, nation of spiritual people on the planet right now looking for evolution, I will tell you that the only real joy I ever have is when I'm of service to others. When I feel as though I'm doing something good that is not just for me.
Well, Gwen, as you know, I'm a Freemason, and basically that's exactly what we are.
That's right.
I mean, I'll give you the example of the Shriners. If there's nothing more philanthropic of trying to make sure the sick kids have medical coverage for the parents that can't afford it, I think of nothing more value added to this society than that.
Right, right. And you know, it's a mark of civilization. It's a mark of barbarism to want to take advantage of people and be a predator capitalist. There's nothing sophisticated or good about that. It's horrible.
Very well said, Jack. Very well said.
Absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. And basically, most of the people I know who are huge activists and protesters and people who get involved in the political, not just the conversation, but get out there in the streets and give their time to help candidates and believe in them and support them, because, you know, it takes a certain kind of personality to be able to become a leader. You know, not just anybody can be. Too many people in this country, in this political environment, have bought their way into leadership.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
It shows. And,
all leaders are narcissists. Either that Trump would lead you to believe that that's the case, but it's not true.
Oh my God!
Well, see, that would become a generalized statement.
Look at people like Bill McKibben and people like that, and Sherrie Foytlin. These people are leaders too. They're smaller stage, but they're wonderful people.
Right, and we showcase them here. In fact, Sherrie will be with us in the next couple of weeks. She's been going through a lot. She was down in Baton Rouge. And of course, all over the place. But the point is that this is a time when leaders will, in small communities and larger ones, it all comes up to the surface. And
yes, greatness will rise in time of trouble.
Right.
Right. But so does buffoonery.
Oh yeah.
Mass people with huge. And why is it that I feel, and I have seen Democrats this way, but not as often as Republicans. And I'll say it again, they buy their way into political. It's like Scott, my governor here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really waiting to work for Charlie Crist. You know.
Yep.
Because he's the only viable, and how, explain the hell to me how Alan Grayson can stick his foot so far up his can that he can't outdo Rubio in this state for that Senate seat right now.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. What the hell is going on with his campaign?
He's obstinate. He's obstinate. And so it gets, and he's really got great ideas. He's really always, I think, integritous and for the earth and everything.
Yeah.
But the thing is that he's like a Bernie. He's difficult to get along with and uncompromising many times. But he does work in Congress. He has.
Oh yeah, he does.
Through.
Yep.
And yet I don't see his presence. You know, I don't see his presence in the state. Right now, the way I do see Rubio, I don't know where the hell he is.
I hate to say it, but I think Rubio's going to win another term, and the guy is, he's the laziest bastard to ever hit the Senate. He's so lazy.
I was going to say, how many days has he been in Congress to even cast votes or listen to debates of what is?
Well,
he's very self-serving.
Been like the few, very, to, you know, hasn't it been so few, but it's pathetic.
He run for president. That's all he did. Another one of these Republicans buying their way into power. And he's, of course, it wasn't his money, and he's a pawn, but he's got backing again, so he's running. And he has the name. And people look at the name, and he's Cuban, and in South Florida, that can, you know, sway too many people.
Right. Yeah.
But Trump is not swaying them.
No.
Trump
is
swaying them. And I will say this for Rubio. He's not going along with everything Trump's saying.
Oh, no. He's in his face. He's in his face, yeah. So that's the only good thing about Marco Rubio. Outside of that, I see Marco Rubio. I constantly see him as the rebuttal to Obama when he had to nervously grab a glass from across the way and gulp water. What a goofball, you know?
Yeah, well, the reason why he's going after Trump is he's fighting for his own survival because as Trump goes down, which, you know, the stupid stuff, the self-inflicting implosions that he puts on himself – also then through osmosis is projected onto everybody else with a Republican ticket in front of their name.
Oh, a lot of Republicans are very, very nervous about Trump and how to deal with him and how to neutralize him, actually.
John
how to
McCain
tuck him away in a
one.
Corner and to disassociate themselves.
Yeah.
Did you hear how Trump supported Ryan McCain and the other one, the congresswoman from the state he was in at the time, Kelly somebody. Did you see him and the way he supported him? I would have given his people a call if I were John McCain, and I would have said, "You tell that son of a bitch not to talk about me, or I want his friggin'."
Well,
support.
A bunch of veterans came out and urged McCain to revoke his endorsement of Trump. That was tremendous.
Right. There's a lot of vets, combat vets, that are saying
Trump
is dangerous. Right.
Yep.
He is dangerous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, accepting that purple heart and embellishing it like he actually won it.
Oh, that was disgusting.
Yeah,
he
should have
said.
Everything is disgusting. It's an affront to everybody.
And the goopy tard that gave it to him as an homage to him, right, should be just as admonished as Trump was. Because that's something that you don't have. It's like the Congressional Medal of Honor. Nobody can have that other than the man who that is awarded to. Bottom line.
That is so foolish.
My whole family, except my sister and myself, everyone in our family served. And including my mom in the military at whatever time.
Right.
And my point is that, you know, the military's first job is to keep the peace. The second thing that people never seem to talk about, and I abhor war. I do. I'm against it. However, do you know what the U.S. military and its branches do? And I know, Wayne, you got experience. What they do, more of anything else, they're the first ones on the scene whenever devastation happens any place on this planet. They bring water, they bring rescue supplies, they bring medics, they bring what is needed. The United States military does that everywhere.
Right.
They're on
absolutely.
The scene. Rescue.
Yep.
A flood in Bangladesh or Kuala Lumpur or down in Peru.
Mm-hmm.
We are there to try to make sure supplies get to them.
Well, you did some of that in your own time in the military, didn't you? Being covering for Pinochet, for Nixon and them. But I mean, you did some benevolent work down there too, as I recall. Wayne.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
My little brother was in the Air Force. And he was a rescue flyer. He was also trained many years. He trained jet pilots in Del Rio. And then he did, recon out of Turkey for many years in the Middle East on a jet. He was one of the virtuals. but the majority of his flight time was rescue. C-131.
Yeah.
And when he retired from Air Force, he did a couple of years in Coast Guard.
Yeah.
And it's all about rescue. Service is about service. And we just, you know, it's the only thought to anybody, if the military's there, it's bad. Well, no, it really isn't.
No, not always.
That's another thing people don't take into account or consideration, especially if they want to pick up a brick and throw it at the White House, you know, or at the mayor's house, whatever. I think that what we've got growing here is a moral minority of people who, for good reasons, true reasons, basically want this country to change, which we're working on it. I'm not saying that's wrong. However, to, you know, want to bring the government down and to sue for reparations, you know, I got to tell you, I know some cousins in Southern Ireland who in the late 70s were, you know, parish priests out of the Catholics, actually cover for these IRA bastards.
Oh, yeah.
And they killed innocent people because, you know, hey, plantation, we want our land back. You know, social evolution happens culturally, and we compromise with one another. We turn to one another in crisis and say, "What can we do together?" We don't become, you know, terrorists, because that's one step away from terrorism. This kind of action, in my opinion, it'll become like that. And
well, you know, I fully understand the motive and the urgency that the Black Lives Matter folks feel, and they feel very justified, and in many ways they are. But, you know, you've got to look at the practicality of it, and I don't think they're going to be able to get any money out of the government at this point in time, maybe never. And it's terrible what was done to them. And that is still being done to them by police and everybody else and agents of
the
state.
Point. That's the other point they make is about it's the murder of their children, black and brown children, who are being murdered by the police. We had an episode this week again now in Chicago. This is a crisis. A crisis.
Yeah.
It's a true crisis, and first responders are supposed to, the cops are the ones that are serving and protecting, and this isn't happening. And when you see cops pull out guns and start shooting at someone who has not shown a weapon, who is, you know, who stole a car, could be joyriding, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I know a kid in my neighborhood whose father owned the damn dealership, and the kid took off on the lot with one, and the father was teaching him a lesson, and he got him, you know, he put it in that the kid stole the vehicle, and the cops never, and of course it's not to be comparable, really, because I'm talking about a white boy, aren't I?
Oh, exactly, and the cops don't automatically go with their guns drawn to blow the guy apart the way they do with black people. The black people, they're afraid of them. They think they're all harboring guns. They think they're all dangerous, and they've all got to be killed. Not just stopped, killed. It's insane.
It's not just white cops, either. It's black cops. It's brown cops. It's
cops.
It's all cops. A lot of cops.
It's become an us against them kind of mentality.
But
right.
While we're on the topic, let me interject here. When Bundy and those good Christian promise keepers all showed up on his farm, and
those
have their ARs pointed at the FBI agents and the local cops, and then the sons go up into the wildlife refuge and pointed their automatic weapons at the cops.
Yeah, they're beating.
Where was the Blue Lives Matter crew on all that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, do you guys know, do you guys know what broken windows policing is? It's out in New York. Bill Bratton, the New York City Police Commissioner, made a decision under Mayor Bill de Blasio for broken windows police. He first served in New York City Police Commissioner for a notoriously racist Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah.
He's known for this architect of broken windows policing, a policing method that Frederick persistently summarized in 1845. The slave owner's plan was to whip for the smallest offenses to prevent the commission of larger ones.
Right.
It's a type of policing where people in urban environments are heavily monitored and targeted for so-called quality of life crimes.
Yeah.
They're very small infractions, ranging from subway-related behaviors to performing in subway cars, panhandling, asking for subway fares, to riding bikes through stop signs.
Yeah, unbelievable. Well, look at the black lives, the black men that were killed regarding stupid things like broken taillights. Give me a break.
Yeah.
What kind of shit is this? I mean, what are we coming to?
Listen,
that's where I can fully understand the anger and the anguish the Black Lives Matter people feel.
Yeah.
I am with them 100%. It's just what they want to do about it that I question how effective it's going to be and whether it's going to turn the public against their aims, which would be bad.
Well, and look what happened to the Black Panthers. They were a community awareness and
group. Well, they got tarred and feathered big time, and look out for those guys. They're terrible black guys, you know. Be afraid of them.
And let me interject here as a Republican, because everyone says, well, I'm kind of a Republican, more like Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was the governor of California and passed the most restrictive gun laws ever because the Black Panthers in Oakland had an open and carry law. They were not breaking the law, so they had to change the law to make them criminals.
Yeah. So that's why this worship of Reagan nowadays, it's based on a bunch of fallacy.
It's nihilistic. It's nihilistic. Yeah.
Good way to put it. Very true, Wayne. Very true.
You know.
Yeah, it is. And what they're actually asking for with this is, I know for truth that they know these demands are not, it's demands. They're setting up an encampment like Occupy Wall Street. It's called Shut Down City Hall, New York City. It's basically going to be a huge turnout, but gosh only knows who will turn up and turn out for it. You hope that they make a point, but you hope that it's bad. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because this time, they're not being as, I guess what I'm thinking is, it's not as tactful as Occupy Wall Street was.
That was a polite movement. It meant business, but it was polite and it was civil. If you're going to be incivil, it's going to work against you. It does every single time.
I was going to say, that was one of the brilliance of Martin Luther King, of following Gandhi. We have, they're turning hoses on us, they're sticking their dogs on us, they're beating us. We have to stay peaceful.
They let them be the bad guys, and they didn't adopt that behavior.
As soon as you retaliated, then they had you.
Right.
This is one of the organizers, Nalini Stamp, who is one of the organizers of BLM, told Salon magazine that she was most excited about the demand for reparations. We're in the middle of a breakthrough on reparations. The original sins in this country are slavery and, by extension, Jim Crow. She's got a point.
Yes.
Yeah, very true.
have not been able to recover from these extreme systemic injustices, and I can't fault her. I can't see an untruth in any of what that was just said.
Oh, not at all.
And remember, Black Lives Matter is not a black group. It is a multiracial organization.
Yes, that's correct. Well,
it's a group of oppressed people, most of whom happen to be darker skinned. Let's put it that way. But not all.
Let me go back. Let me go back 50 years. The Civil Rights Movement had many Jewish kids going down south.
Some of them got
murdered. Trying to get blacks registered to vote.
Yeah,
Mickey Shorner
got killed.
Yes.
There's a lot of white people involved in this, in a Black Lives Matter organization, too.
People of good conscience.
She's called an action, a call to action is issued by Millions March, New York City. I guess they're asking people to come to New York to march. She believes that they can abolish the police state. We can stop police militarization and stamp call for more community control over police, for allowing people to democratically control their communities. And I see her point.
I like that.
You cannot fault, but to issue demands for the abolition or
that won't work. That won't work. And I don't mean to throw water on their parade, but I just think it's going to be, they're going to short circuit themselves by being too militaristic.
Yeah.
I
hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I hope it stays peaceful. That was, I'm one of the Martin Luther King activists.
We all are.
Bobby Kennedy, it's peace. It's peaceful.
Yep.
I mean, Bob Kennedy Jr. was actually arrested with Cherie, Portland.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
In front of the White House. Now, he's a lawyer, and I believe he's registered for the bar in New York State and also in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to get arrested for watershed for, I think they were all arrested for the Gulf. And what was it that they were getting arrested for? It was for the pipeline.
Yeah.
XL pipeline.
And they were victorious in that. They were victorious in that.
Were.
That was great.
They were. But for him to be arrested, it goes on his judicial record.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It can harm him if he wants to run for office or anything, which I think if he was going to run for office, he would have done it by now.
I think so, too, yeah.
Yeah. But he's a great activist. He's a hell of an orator. He can tell you why and how and who. He's a hell of a
He knows his stuff.
Yeah. He does his research like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
He's just great at it. I admire him. I admire him almost as much as I do his dad. But
he's tremendous.
Yeah, he really is. But if these folks gentlemen. If these folks get militaristic in their occupation, that will just be bad. It will be awful.
Well, first of all, if they do that and they get too so-called out of line, you know what's going to happen? The police state will jump all over them, will murder them, will imprison them, will, it'll be a bloodbath, and we don't need that.
And Jack,
no one needs that.
It'll only just be the Black Lives Matter, but it'll be all the progressive movement will be de-escalated by this.
Will be targeted in the media, especially.
Yeah. Exactly, because they're going to paint it with one big broad brush. It's quote-unquote these people.
Yep.
These people, that generalized statement.
Yeah,
people are
going to
buy into it.
And let me tell you, the surprise guest hero the only real political hero now that can come and save the day in this, in my opinion, is my candidate, is Hillary Clinton. I think she's the only one who can address this and make it better, make it so it doesn't get out of hand.
That would be a tremendous act of leadership on her part, and I hope she does do it.
Well, that would do a lot. I tell you what, that would seal the deal.
Yeah, that would.
That would be any question at all. That would seal the deal.
Because
right
all Trump's going to do is badmouth him, and all his Rudy Giuliani and the rest of those idiots are going to do is badmouth him.
As Jack Kemp called it, they'll use that to whip up the nut jobs. Quote
That's
unquote.
Right. That's right. Yep.
Well, I have to ask you guys, what did you think of Trump's week? I mean, Jack. Well, no, I'm sorry. I meant to ask Wayne. Wayne, you're Navy man. How did you feel when Donald Trump did what it reacted the way he did to that Muslim father of that soldier?
Well, Gwen, as you know, we lost three down in South America when I was there. One was a black guy, one was a white guy, and I think another one was kind of Hispanic. He was darker skinned. For him to attack that, because he happened to be of Muslim faith, he was an American-born kid, his parents came to this country to make a better life for him. There's many that, of the immigrants, is kind of a legacy almost. When the parents come here to this country, the next generation steps up and will do their service for their country to say, yes, I am an American. And for Trump to turn around and bash him and his parents who are suffering his death, I think is the most inexcusable. I'm going to stop right there. I've lost words.
I think 90% of the people agree with you, Wayne. I do.
I think the majority of Americans. I was listening to that man. I was quite surprised by his presence.
Yeah.
And I turned around and looked, and I was listening, and I was caught between the fire of yes, what he was saying about Trump, but the other side of me was almost crying for the man because he was hurting. He was hurting.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I buried three, like I said, I buried three of them. I know what that feels like.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. I got to stop there.
It was Hillary Clinton that brought his son to the forefront by saying, the reason why you don't throw the immigrants out, the reason why we don't honor our new citizens is because of. And she brought his name up, and she talked to him and told his story, which was very compelling, to bring people to understand exactly the kind of trash that was being spewed by the Republican nominee.
Oh, yeah. Well, she put a human face on it, which was very important and very necessary to do, and something the Republicans never do.
No, they don't.
I was going to say, let me interject here real quick. They talk about how they're going to keep the Muslims out. We're going to have a ban on all Muslims. This engineering firm I'm with right now, I work with several Muslims, those from India, Hindus from India, Jewish, a Russian Orthodox from Romania. They all have their advantage. The reason why you're not going to say we're going to keep these people out because industry in this country needs them. These people have their doctorate, master's, and electrical engineering or some of the higher aspects needed, required. They are filling the void that this country needs to improve our infrastructure system. Trump and all his cronies are not going to stop the immigration of well-educated, don't care about the religion, choose any ones that I just mentioned above, because their skills are needed and corporations are going to bring them in here to fill the need.
Well, we are better and stronger together than we are apart or separated.
Exactly. The diversity there. And you know what? We all get very well together. I don't care what religion you are. Can you do the job? Can you get me the information I need in a timely fashion so I can do my job?
Right. In this melting pot of a country that we have, and sometimes it is a melting pot where people do melt together and for a common purpose and get things done when they work together, and that happens quite often. It isn't always ghettos separated by wealthy estates and all that stuff. It isn't always that way. There is a tremendous amount of melting and melding, which is very healthy, and it's unique among this country that we have it. And that's right. When we're at our pinnacle. That's when we're at our peak of effectiveness and fairness and of justice. And we need to have more of that rather than less, and we need to foster that rather than separateness.
Well,
that's
exactly the message of the Hillary Clinton campaign, stronger together. And we can solve the country together. It's going to take more Democrats in the House and the Senate, and we've got to push for all of it. We have to.
We've got to work on getting more Democrats elected across the board.
Even to
city councils, we've got to do it, you know.
It's got to be right. School board, the whole nine yards. Well, let me interject real quick here of kind of my own family history. My mother's grandfather, who really raised her, came over here from Germany. He was a young man, still going in school. His mom was in Munich, but they also had farmland here in America. And he was going to school in St. Mary's in Baltimore. That's where Babe Ruth. He knew Babe Ruth. They were classmates together, kind of at the same time, to put it in perspective. World War I breaks out. His mom's outside of Munich, and he decided, you know what? I have the values of an American now. I'm an American. He joined the American Army while his mom was still outside of Munich. Of course, you know, he spoke German with an accent, so they put him in the Philippines instead of the front line of France. But he served. What he did was he freed up where somebody else, you know, could be on the front lines in France from the areas in the Philippines.
Uh-huh.
Now, let me fast forward a little bit. His son, which was my grandmother's twin, Schultz, by the way, was her last name. Good German Schultz. His son joined the 101st Airborne and was dropped behind enemy lines on D-Day. And fought his way across Europe.
Well,
guess what name was on his uniform? That's right. The American soldier, Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
There were many.
Grady was his name.
First,
I was going to say, and that's not unique to my family. There were many immigrant sons of Italian, French, German, you know, on and on and on, who served in the American services fighting what had been their parents' home country because they were Americans. And that's the same thing with the Muslim young man and his parents.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Mexican immigrants, legal or illegal. The kid was born here. He served in the Gulf Wars.
He said, well, pull up a chair and give us your opinion, dear.
But
well, you know,
the
only difference. The only difference now is that not only was 9/11 a lot closer in time to us than those old examples, although the difference in time is still the same for relatively speaking, but it's a little bit different for us. And the other thing that makes it different is that 9/11 occurred on our soil, and it was a devastation to one of our cities, two of our cities. And because of that, that's what makes a difference in so many people's minds, and that's what makes people, even Bush himself didn't want people to harangue Muslims. He was was one of the smart things he did. But, nobody listened to him anymore.
Barbara and Laura Bush are close to making a commercial for Hillary, are you nuts?
There is not one past president who knows what the job takes is going to be supporting Trump. Daddy Bush, Mommy Bush, Laura, and W. None of those as Republicans are going to be supporting. They've come out and blatantly said, we are going to be voting for Hillary, period.
Yeah, right. So you never know. Politics makes strange bedfellows, I'll tell you.
Well, you know, they do realize, you know, there might be a party alliance, But stupid is stupid, and insanity is really insane.
Right. And, you know, here's the, you know who's at the crux of all this stuff? Indirectly, it's the Koch brothers with their interfering with everything, with their ALEC and all their nonsense, and they're trying to dominate the country and make it anti-government and all this stuff and free reign for capitalists. You know, it's created guys like Donald Trump, and now they've created a monster they can't control, and now they're scurrying to fight him, and it's just it's gonna destroy that party. You mark my words.
Yeah.
Well, the public, I've said this all along, and I think it. You know, honey, come on, instant karma's gonna get you.
Oh yeah,
it
man.
May
oh yeah.
Instant, but in the bigger picture, it is pretty instant.
Karma will get you. Yep.
What goes around comes around.
Comes around.
That's,
yep,
that's
right.
Just business. And these guys have made their bet. Well,
yep.
These guys, women, I mean, have you listened to that end of the bar rail, broad barking Jan Brewer? I mean, this is the woman.
Oh, she's an idiot.
In the bar barking. And the bartender finally throws her out. That's who she reminds me of, you know?
Yeah, she's they're all crude, very crude people.
Yeah. I don't get that. I don't get that. And Rudy Giuliani has gotten more and more sardonic as he's gotten older.
Yeah.
It's awful to have to listen to it, but you have to listen to it to know
there's a guy that might be pretty narcissistic. I mean, how self-centered can you be to think just because you were the mayor of a city that was attacked that you're qualified to be president? Give me a break. What an absolute moron.
Well, you know, I mean, he feels that, I guess that he is due deference because of it, but I don't see how.
Give me a break. No, he's not due any deference from me, I'll tell you that much right now.
Yes. By the way, this just in, Hillary Clinton now has a 12-point lead over Trump. 40,
in what poll?
I'm going to say it was one of the ABC news polls.
Okay.
All right.
Well, she also sort of backfired on herself again with these goddamn email questions. It's the only bell they've got to ring. You know, you're untrustworthy, and look at these emails. And it's like, well, the only reason that there were classified emails that went to her on her private server, they were grandfathered as classified when they were sent.
I was going to say, when they came in, they weren't labeled as classified, were
mm-hmm,
they?
Right.
That's how I understand it. It
well,
was
they'll
afterwards.
Use every
oh, yeah,
tactic
well,
they can
classified.
To throw them at her now. It's just disgusting.
Right. Yeah. So.
And like Bernie Sanders said in their first debate, I don't care about your damn emails, and we don't.
That's
we're tired of it. This is Republican bullshit.
They're
desperate as hell, and that's all they can throw at her. So they're going to throw it at her again and again and again, and they're going to find out, just like water on a duck's back, it's going to roll right off.
Jack, you're going to have to help me out here. Ken Starr spent hundreds of millions of dollars putting a microscope up her ass over Whitewater.
Yep.
Who and then the one that did the Benghazi, again, another Republican. What was his name? Anyway, same thing. Hundreds of million dollars investigating Benghazi. Guess what? Exonerated her.
Nothing.
They found nothing.
Nothing.
And then the final one here with the FBI, head of FBI, again, hundreds of million dollars looked at and said, there's nothing here.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Maybe she probably shouldn't have had a private email server because there were some things that came in.
But there's still
many
millions of cynical Republicans who don't really trust her, period, for no good reason whatsoever. They just don't trust her, and they never will, and they're always going to find something to throw at her.
Jack, they don't trust her because they've been told by the Republicans who are frightened of her ability to lead.
Right, exactly.
For years, not to trust her, and they brought all this up. She's quite right. Every time she does get put in a job and begins to do the job, her approval rate is through the roof.
Right.
Because
she does a very good job.
And now they've tried to characterize her as an untrustworthy and a bad Secretary of State. Why, hell, she was one of the best, if not the best, one of the very best Secretaries of State we've ever had for this country. Christ, she visited in a record amount of countries, and she promoted goodwill. She did a few things on the side that were a little questionable at times, but it wasn't overly bad. It was totally good, most of it.
Well, she actually did get – we do have a caller, so I'm going to open the mic.
Great.
All right.
Maybe we'll get Raz today. 205
Sure. I'm in the mood.
205-914-2821 has just dropped. Okay.
Oh, darn.
I guess
darn it.
They just didn't want to talk to us. They just wanted to listen. But here's the deal. With the way I see it, she's had bad press all along. I mean, I listened to a Republican woman trying to say she wasn't a role model because she didn't divorce her husband when he played around on her. Now that's
how utterly ridiculous! How utterly, utterly ridiculous! You know, that is so utterly, completely stupid. I'm not even going to comment on it. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I was going to say that's.
There was a panel today on CNN of women. Supposedly, you know, it was everybody was sort of evenly matched, you know, pro and con. But if it came to a conservative way of seeing it or a Republican way of seeing it, you know, they were talking about the historical moment of a woman becoming a nominee for president in this country, and that's all. But it turned into a either lover or hater fest. And
the media coaxed that along. They like the controversy.
It's called blood in the water. You know, that's
exactly.
That's the way they run it, so that, it's pretty awful. The only one that doesn't do that, I tell you, there's two people who definitely don't do that. Chris Hayes doesn't do that.
And Rachel
Maddow doesn't do that. Lawrence O'Donnell does to a certain degree. But he put out an extraordinary piece of segment this week on the football. You know what the football is. You guys know what the football is, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. That's where they refer to the codes.
Yep.
Yeah, the president carries the biscuit, and the military officer that is with him from whatever branch of the service that week is serving him carries the football, which are the nuclear launch. They go everywhere with him. Everywhere. He can't go. He's on vacation right now. So is the football.
Yeah.
You know,
and
here's the stunning thing you got to know. 6 minutes. 6 minutes after the highest office in this land, the President of the United States gives the order to launch, 6 minutes before it can be, you know, before they launch. And it can be turned back.
Right.
How do you put that football in the hands of someone like Donald Trump?
Oh, God.
Well, like I said, I think I said it last week, he would probably inadvertently launch the codes and launch the nuclear missiles trying to call up his next mail order bride like the last one.
Yeah. You know, we can't allow a man with that many personality defects. He's too dangerous a man to really even run his own business, you know?
Yeah,
he's a dangerous, dangerous man. He doesn't belong in any position of power, not with that personality disorder, that narcissistic personality disorder. It's very bad.
Well, there's only one other question we got time for, but I was wondering what you guys thought about the former CIA director's op-ed in the New York Times about supporting Hillary for president over this issue with Trump. Did you guys read that?
What was his rationale?
I'm sorry. Say it again. I missed it.
He wrote an op-ed, an ex-CIA director. Oh, dear. Should have better known. I'm sorry.
Was it, you're not Leon Panetta?
No.
No. No, the other
no,
one.
No, this man worked years ago with Clinton and the First Admin. He trusts her completely. He knows he's worked with her when she was a senator. He said that she's completely viable as far as leadership structure goes and trustability goes. But he's getting hit, of course, from the Democrats, but he's also getting hit because they're saying, well, yeah, he's on the payroll of Hillary Clinton. Well, he
yeah, all this innuendo stuff. Well, on the payroll, oh, he's been bought out. You know, prove it. I just want these people to prove it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He does work for some branch now of a Clinton something, but he
Clinton
was
Global Initiative or something.
Yeah, he's basically he was the director of the CIA. He did work with very sensitive material with Hillary Clinton, and he
did he email her? Then he should be impeached.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Jeez. I don't know, guys. I know this much. I know if we sit here and think because she's 12 points ahead nationally at this moment, she's going to win, we're being foolish.
No,
well,
that's foolish. Foolish.
Let me put this up. Daddy Bush was ahead by double digits in October, a few weeks before the November elections against the first time for Bill Clinton.
Yep.
And he lost.
He lost because of the influence of
Do not underestimate anything. This election is too important.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court.
And you can't just sit
Congress,
on your hands and
law.
Say, oh, I'm not going to vote. My candidate didn't make it. You can't do that. That's you might as well cast your vote for Trump. People can't be that stupid. Noam Chomsky came out with a very good article on why you must vote for Hillary this time.
Yes, there's many reasons.
Was that what I haven't read it yet. It's in my save column. That's what Chomsky said?
Absolutely.
Noam Chomsky.
It was in a day or two's alternate headlines. I thought I CC'd that to you.
You did. You did. I put it in my save column. I just haven't had time.
Yeah, he has
to read
eight
it.
Reasons. He has eight reasons why you can't sit on your hands and you've got to vote this year and you've got to vote against Trump.
Right. Right.
Well, you know, there's a thing called the spoiler. We first knew him as the illustrious Mr. Nader. I mean, you know, if he
Well, that was Ross Perot.
Well, Ross Perot, too, yes. He was a spoiler also. But, you know, he made a point this week on Democracy Now!, I think it was, saying that, you know, we're over. I'm sorry. He said it's unfair to call anybody a spoiler. Everybody's running. Everybody has a fair chance. He's right about that. He really is.
Well, all I can advise people to do is keep pushing forward. That's all I can say. Keep pushing forward and don't sit on your hands.
No, absolutely. You've got to get out and vote.
That's right.
And I'll quote Ted Cruz, vote your conscience. How's that from a good Republican?
Trump.
I'm going to quote from a Republican, vote your conscience. And anybody with a conscience will not be voting for Trump.
What dimension that would be, but thank you, Jeff, and I will be back here with you next Sunday for another Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. I'm Gwendolyn Berry with Jack Jodell, and Wayne Johnson. And thank you for listening. As I said, we will be back. And that's our show for this evening.
Thank
you,
Gwen.
Good night, all.
Good night, guys.
Good night. Have a great week, everybody. Keep pushing forward.